Paul and Jordana here. Susan Blanche at the helm. Thank you for spending some time with us on this gloomy, doomy Monday
afternoon. Come on, it brightened up. The ice fog gave way to some sunshine. I snapped a few photos.
Do you have that friend who always says, oh, my God, I'm so swamped at work. I can't go out. I'm so swamped at work. Oh, my God, I'm working. I'm going in early. I'm working all the time.
It's a badge of honor, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, people are keeping score, whether it's money, whether it's the number of hours you work, number of grandkids. People are keeping score. That has never changed.
This is one that we've heard certainly in the last few years about work hours. You know, it's like how little you sleep and how much you work is this badge of how important you are.
I met a politician the other day who shall remain nameless, who insists that he sleeps 2 hours a night.
That's a lie.
2 hours.
What, a politician who lies? Shocking.
No, I have no reason not to believe him, and he seems to be able to
function.
Well,
because he would die. No, nobody can sleep 2 hours a night, Paul. Doctors, please call in. Nobody can survive on 2 hours a night.
He seemed to be doing just fine. I have no reason not to believe him. But anyway, the point is, how many hours do you work? And is there a clear connection between the number of hours you work at your job and how well you do at your job? How many hours a week do you work?
Well, it's hard to quantify. I feel like I don't work that much. You know, we get in around...
I would concur.
Yeah. I mean, if physically I'm here, you know, we get in around 2:30 for our 12:30, 1 o'clock. We have a 1 o'clock news meeting. And we're done at 6. But, that's only 5 hours that we're physically in this building.
But at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're looking at stories,
yes,
trying to figure out what's the topic,
yes,
today, what are people thinking about.
Of course.
So we're always looking for
fodder,
stories.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Filling the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, that's true. So, but I would never say I work, 16 hours a day, even though at night I'm talking about work or, you know, throwing ideas around or meeting people thinking, oh, that person would be good to talk to.
If you answer a work email on a Sunday,
does that work?
If the boss reaches out, is that work?
I guess if it's at your boss's request, but I don't know. I guess I just went on vacation and I checked email, once a day because it made me less anxious, thinking I was coming back to a lot of emails. So I didn't consider it work. I found my vacation very restful.
I probably work about 65 hours a week.
Well, you have two jobs.
I have four jobs.
You run your other companies.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
I've got Star Tribune, Predictix, yeah, and Aris Weather, and yeah, CCO. And they're all kind of synergistic in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking for content, always looking for good stories that, mm-hmm, I can use either in the Star Tribune or here on CCO Radio or both.
Elon Musk says you can't change the world without 80 to 100 hours per week. Yet, Daniel Pink, the famous business writer, says data shows after 55 hours in a week, after 55 hours, you are no longer productive. After you've worked 55-hour work week, your productivity drops off.
And I believe that. You can have bursts of creativity, mm-hmm, bursts of productivity. Mm-hmm. There's no way to sustain that. Nobody can. Even if you're Elon Musk. So it's the old story. Do you work longer versus working smarter?
Mm-hmm. How do you do it? How is it working for you? Do you have a job now that's not typical? It wasn't, you show up at work at 9, you leave at 5, you have to be at work to do your job. How is it working in your life? Do you feel like you're working a lot of hours? Do you feel like you're working less? Do you have the flexibility on your job to recharge and maybe only work 4 to 6 hours a day if those are very productive? Or are you working 100-hour weeks? Our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Michelle's in Becker. Jump on in here, Michelle.
Yeah, I used to work like that, but I used to take 20 minutes hour nap and take a new shower and start all over.
Oh, so you
so
take...
I work many hours.
How many hours do you work, Michelle?
When I used to work like that, I used to work about 16 hours a day. But I would pause in the middle, take a shower and a 20-minute nap, and start all over.
Wow.
And so it changed. So it was literally like starting all over in the day.
What did you do, Michelle, that you were working 16 hours a day?
I was a DJ.
A DJ. Like at a radio station, Michelle?
Yes.
So you were working a double shift then at the station.
Do that, and then you have to go and sell ads, and la 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 la.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I believe that, though. I believe that. So how did that? How did you do? I mean, were you just beat up and worn out? Do you feel like you were productive?
Not at all. Not at all. Because I would start all over. I would literally, like, shut down for, like, 20 minutes, like I said, and I would take that 20-minute breather, shower, change my clothes, and start my day again.
Hmm. Your superwoman girlfriend. Wow. Thanks for the call, Michelle. Good for you.
But the whole power nap thing, I think Michelle is onto something.
Yes.
And I've heard that before, and I've seen the research that, yeah, you know, a 15, 20-minute nap can recharge you and keep you going and maybe get you back to peak performance, peak creativity.
Because I don't believe in the 100-hour work week. I just don't. I mean, I know Elon Musk loves what he does, and he lives and he breathes it, and we're not all Elon Musk.
But again, when Elon Musk is sitting at home answering emails or on the phone from one of his many homes, that I think it constitutes work.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Well, okay, but then I'm going to start counting.
He's
I guess
sitting in front of a desk making widgets.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not on an assembly line, although he has a few assembly
making
lines.
Rockets.
Yeah. Making rockets.
Beth, jump on in here from Woodbury. Hey, Beth, how are you working?
We are working, well, we work a lot of hours, but we're in the hospitality industry and we do events all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easily an 80 to 100-hour week whenever we travel and go to a different city. But that's really in the sports industry, hospitality. I mean, these people that work at athletic professional facilities, they're there at 8 a.m. And if there's a game, they don't leave until 11, 12 at night. So I've done that since college, and but it's kind of a mental game too. You know, when you're traveling and when you get to a site, you're there 80, 90 hours, you know, minimum, and then jump on a plane, come home, and then you have a little time to recover and do it all over again.
Do you like what you're doing?
Love it. Love it. You know, it's kind of in your blood, to be honest with you. And, you know, the work-life balance suffers sometimes, but we figure that out too. So I've been doing it long enough, and people get what we do, and the people in your life understand it. And sometimes you put them to the side, but they get it. And you just get 100% on what you do, but it's typical. It's like anybody that runs large events locally and throughout the country, that's average.
Yeah, and then you get some time downtime, right, Beth? When you come home, you get a couple days off?
Well, it depends. I mean, because then you have to close the books and wrap it up. And, you know, the more time you take off is, you know, you lose the memory of what just happened the week before. So everybody's programmed a little different. I personally like to get it done right away. And then you can work your 4 to 5 hour days for a couple of days and you jump back on a plane and do it again. So.
Wow.
Good
for you,
call,
Beth.
Yeah, fun, thank though. You. Good call.
Yeah. No, thank you. Bye-bye.
But it's obvious she loves what she does. And if you truly love what you do, it doesn't seem like work, right? And that's, I think, one of the keys to life. Find something that doesn't seem like exhausting, grueling work.
But maybe that's easier, what I'm confused
that's
about.
That's easier said than done sometimes,
what Elon was saying, you know, 100 hours a week of work. I'm thinking work, like the really hard stuff. Like, even though I love being on the air, it's a lot of energy when we're on the air. So I couldn't imagine 100 hours on the air.
I'm afraid you're going to spontaneously combust one of these days. Yes, energy, miss energy.
It takes a lot. So I couldn't imagine doing this for 100 hours, like 3 hours a day, and I'm pretty spent.
But if you have a job where you have a purpose, and I've run into more people who are retired, and they lose that sense of purpose, and they're somewhat depressed, you know, and they're like,
you need
that sense of purpose. And everybody has a sense of purpose. One of our texters says, Jor, I'm a teacher. I work 50 to 60 hours a week. I bring schoolwork home, put in 1 to 2 hours every night, correcting and planning, then weekends, 2 to 3 hours on a typical Sunday. I'm exhausted, but I love my kids. I love what I do.
And we love you. Thank you, teachers. And nurses, man. Nurses work crazy hours. This is a text from a nurse. Hey, are long hours safe? I am a nurse forced to retire early because I refuse to work the mandatory 12-hour shifts, including 3 in a row on weekends.
How is that legal?
Do you want our nurses that tired? Sad, scary that's the norm on both coasts. Come on, Minnesota, stop the trend. We're better than that, safer than that. I hear this from nurses a lot on the air here. Some love it because then they get like a couple days off in a row, 3-4 days off. But boy, that's really hard. And you have a job where you really need to be super focused.
But look at commercial pilots. I mean, they are limited. You can only work X number of hours in a given week, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want people putting in double shifts, triple shifts, who are flying passengers around the country. So
Jim says, Jim's a trucker. Most truckers work 14 hours per day. That's the legal max. After 70 hours, we're required by law to take 34 hours off. Then we start over again. Yeah. Yeah, wow. I get it. Oh, I'm in a small creative business. I work 24/7. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Isn't that great?
I like this one. I wish Jorg could go 100 hours a week. She's great.
I think that's probably facetious, but that's
sweet
of you.
I don't think so. I think that's genuine.
That's sweet of you. I'm tired.
From the heart.
Really tired. Wait, hold on, Sue. We'll take one more call, and then we'll take a break. Michael's in St. Louis Park. Jump in here, Michael.
Hey, Jordana. So I left my corporate job last March. I was pretty burned out. Just didn't have any gas left in the tank. And I think what's disturbing is just people in the U.S. don't take their PTO. I think they've got it figured out pretty well in Europe. You know, you can't email office workers on the weekends, for example, in France.
Yes, that's
I think
true.
They're starting it with in some other countries. But I just think that you've got to, and I'm going to start a workshop just to talk about this series, in fact, that you're covering. So it's very relevant. And thanks for your show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael, call us when you're doing the workshop.
Yeah, we'll do.
Thank you, sir.
And I hear more of that, especially with younger people. I mean, everybody wants to make more money. I have yet to meet anybody who wants to make less money. But it's the whole work-life balance, and especially with millennials, and I'm not using that term as a pejorative, but younger people, they're looking at the whole package. You know, time off. When do I have downtime, family time? And that's a prerequisite. If you don't give me enough downtime, family time, me time, I'm not going to take that job. And so
they're going to change the world.
I think they're going to change things, hopefully for the better.
All right, we're late for the break. 4:23. When we get back, you got a little weather therapy?
Just a little.
Okay.
Just a little therapy.
On CCO.
So did you drive in the ice fog this morning? It's exciting.
Ice fog? I know. I did not.
Were you up before the crack of noon?
I was not. No. Of course I was. I got in my car around, 9:30.
Did you notice the trees? The
yes,
ghostly white trees?
It's very beautiful.
And the snowy roads?
It's
very
beautiful.
I mean, it's a bit of a disconnect. There wasn't a storm. There isn't a storm within 500 miles of here, and yet we wake up to icy roads, snowy roads, and people are scratching their heads. What the heck's going on here?
We have a friend in from Dallas. He thinks this is the greatest thing ever. He's like, oh, this is so great. He's only in for a day. And he's like, it's so great that I get to see snow. I'm like, boo, great. So great.
Stick around. Stick around. But yeah, I mean, clear nights, you get these ice fogs that can form, especially if you have a little bit of snow melt that moistens up the lowest few hundred feet of the atmosphere, and then clear skies, you get lazy clouds forming on the ground, and those clouds can leak a little bit of very light snow and freezing drizzle. That was the case this morning. And
beautiful.
What struck me as unusual, I'm driving down the highway, and literally from block to block, the conditions change. In one case, one block, you got swirling snow and icy roads. The next block, the roads are dry. It was a little bit of a disconnect, a little bizarre. And it's very hard to predict when that fog, if that fog, is ever going to burn off, because the sun is about as low in the sky as it ever gets. By the way, December 21, I think the mental turning point for a lot of people, that is the winter solstice. After December 21, the amount of daylight starts increasing again.
Woohoo!
Spring is not right around the corner, but El Nino may be right around the corner. And there's some theories that El Nino moisture and winds may have strengthened that storm that hammered the Carolinas and Virginia. 34 inches of snow just northeast of Asheville, North Carolina. Richmond picked up a cool foot of snow. We've had 7.3 inches so far this winter. 7.3.
Is that a lot?
No. It's about half what we should have gotten to date. Omaha, Nebraska has seen more. They've gotten 9. Lubbock, Texas has seen more snow than we have. They've
what about North Carolina?
10 inches. Yeah, Carolinas have seen a few feet of snow, quite a bit more. Greensboro, North Carolina has picked up a foot of snow so far. Even Chicago has gotten 13 inches of snow. Roanoke, Virginia has seen 15 inches compared to our puny 7.3. Mm. 4 inches of dirty snow on the ground. I think based on the temperatures in the low to mid 30s, much of the next few weeks, I think that'll be down to an inch or two. Three out of four Christmases are white on average in the Twin Cities, with at least an inch or more of snow on the ground.
I don't like where you're going with this.
I'm starting to wonder if this is going
Susan,
to be
he's making me nervous.
One of those one out of four winters where we don't have a white Christmas. I don't see anything right now between now and Christmas.
You know, if you could stop being a jerk, that'd be good. People hate you all over the Twin Cities right now, so
you
stop talking.
You could be my publicist.
You are. Don't say things like that. Brown Christmas, my butt.
Yes,
nobody
honey.
Wants to hear that. That is not why they want to listen to WCCO radio.
I'm just being a realist. I'm being a pragmatist.
Well, we hate you for it right now.
Okay, thanks,
sorry.
Honey.
Yeah, sorry. Just being honest.
Back to you.
People are yelling at their radio right now.
You realize that you weren't thinking that. You said that on the air.
Sorry, is this thing on?
You realize that guys have feelings, too, okay? We bury those feelings deep down, but every now and then.
Under the no snow that's coming on Christmas?
You poke and poke and poke. I can't make the snow. I just report the weather.
Afton can make it.
Okay, then go celebrate Christmas at Afton. They'll have a white Christmas. Everybody, we'll meet you at Afton.
The Jew is sticking up for Christmas. I want everybody to have a white Christmas. That's why I'm pushing back so hard.
I hope we get something between now and
so
Christmas.
Too.
I don't see it, but that could change. We'll see.
I hope so.
That's all I got. And, man, I wish this could go on forever, but look at the time.
This person texted in, I'm a meter reader. I'm dreaming of a brown Christmas. Yes, that makes your job easier.
All the shoppers, yes, right? Just getting around is easier. But, hey, I want a white Christmas, too.
I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4:32. Mm-hmm. We're going way beyond the headlines when we return.
To infinity and beyond.
The headlines.
I know we usually do fun stuff at this time, but I just wanted to update anybody who didn't hear this in the news. James Alex Fields Jr., who rammed his car, evil, awful human, rammed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters during a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia last year, was found guilty on Friday of killing Heather Heyer and injuring dozens of others. The jury deliberated a few hours before convicting him, who is 21 years old, awfully young to have all that hate in you, of first-degree murder, along with several counts of aggravated malicious wounding and leaving the scene of an accident. And by the way, he could receive a federal death penalty if more charges will be. These are federal hate crimes, by the way, which allow for the death penalty. So those are separate charges that he's been indicted on. But if he is convicted of those federal hate crime charges, they do allow for the death penalty. So just wanted to update you for those interested in the family of Heather Heyer seeking justice. Justice was served on Friday.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Susan, can you put up with the box here so we can hear the whoosh? There we go. Whoosh. There we go.
Well, I'm going to go from that story to pre-cooked bacon.
Okay.
And I mean no offense by this, but Ohio State University has a vending machine where you can purchase bacon.
Come on.
It was sponsored by the Ohio Pork Council.
I'm sure it was.
And you can either get the little nuggets of bacon, or you can get a box of 12 strips of pre-cooked bacon.
There are nuggets?
It has, well, yeah, the bacon bits. You know, the bacon bits.
Like the stuff you shake on your salad?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It has apparently been very well received on campus, and they may keep that machine in there indefinitely at Ohio State. I just wonder if this is going to take off.
So is it like bacon jerky? Because it can't be hot. Is it hot?
It's pre-cooked,
okay.
So it's not hot, right. But you still taste the bacon, and apparently it's crispy and wonderful.
And out of the vending machine.
God, I'm hungry.
Godspeed. The 2019 Grammy nominations are in. Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and Women, the Year of the Woman. I guess this is sort of the second Year of the Woman. But rap stars Kendrick Lamar and Drake led the list of nominees for the Grammy Awards. Right behind them. Many women. Years of after friction and diversity, including a major dust-up over gender representation at the last ceremony, Instagram star turned rapper Cardi B, folk songer singer-writer Brandi Carlile, left of center country singer Kacey Musgraves, R&B artist H.E.R. and Janelle Monáe. Let's see. I've heard of Cardi B. I've heard of Janelle Monáe. Have you heard of any of the other ones that I listed?
Are you still speaking English?
I know. Those are among the women who will compete for Album of the Year against some of hip-hop's biggest names. Lamar received 8 nominations, including 4th Album of the Year for his role as executive producer on the soundtrack to Marvel's Black Panther. And Drake, of course, was up there with a bunch. Post Malone also rounded out some of them. But a lot of women up for Grammys this year.
Wow.
So go, girls.
Congrats. I'm going to keep the
food theme
going. And I found this fascinating. This came out last week. Smell-O-Vision is coming to a theater near you. It's a new campaign for Pillsbury refrigerated dough products during the holidays. General Mills, our very own local General Mills, is going to be giving commercials in movie theaters an extra touch by pumping the scent of cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
As they appear on the screen. You'll be able to take them in all their glory.
How are they going to do it?
They have machines.
Like they have to be in your house?
It's like it's been described as a giant air freshener. They're pumps. And they pump the smells into the theaters.
Okay.
Right, you have to be
in
the theater.
I'm sorry, I thought this was like for television commercials. How are they doing that?
Future televisions? the machines have to be turned on and off manually and quickly. The commercials just last 15 seconds. And I'm just curious if any of our listeners have actually experienced this.
That'd be cool.
Because there's
that would totally make me go buy cinnamon rolls if they were selling them outside.
No better smell in the world.
I know it. Isn't that great? Woman dies from brain-eating amoeba after using a neti pot.
Okay.
Do you ever use a neti pot?
No, not while sober, no.
People swear by them. Swear by them.
What is a neti pot?
You pour water. I'm leaning over. You pour water up your nose on one side. If you could see me in the studio, I'm actually miming this. And like it goes off the nose and then it goes out the other nostril and it like drains, I don't know, Susan, right? Drains your sinuses, right?
Cleans your sinuses.
There you go.
I did that on my first date with Lori as a test just to see. Is she the one?
Apparently it worked.
I'm going to drain my sinuses. Do you mind, ma'am?
Okay, so listen to this. A lot of people use neti pots, and people love them. A woman was told by her doctor to rinse her sinuses twice daily to clear up chronic sinusitis.
Ugh.
Okay? Well, she died from a brain-eating amoeba. That's really got to be a bad way to go. A brain-eating amoeba. She was using tap water filtered using a Brita water purifier in the neti pot. Okay, so Susan, she was doing the right thing. She was using the filtered tap water filtered using the Brita water purifier in the neti pot. Okay, this is according to a journal in the International Journal of Infectious Diseases.
You have to use distilled water?
Well, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says only distilled, sterile, or cooled boiled water. Oh, I thought filtered water was okay, but filtered water is not okay.
I bet your Hofferman water would be okay.
No.
No?
Please do not use that.
I was trying.
Retract that.
Grasping.
We love our friends at Hofferman, but we do not want you to get a brain-eating amoeba from using a neti pot with the K5 drinking station. Stop it. Only distilled, sterile, or cooled boiled water for sinus irrigation. Well, a month after cleaning her sinuses with non-sterile water, she had a rash that appeared on the right side of her nose. The doctor said it was rosacea. It wasn't. It was a brain-eating amoeba, and now she's dead.
Well, thank you, Debbie Downer.
Wow.
Thank you. By the way, all my stories were food-related, upbeat, happy.
Mine were death and destruction.
Yeah.
I have a Kardashian story, but I don't think we have time. Although somebody texted in that said, Jordana, Brandi Carlile was just here for 3 sold-out concerts at the State Theater. Yeah. I'm sure my kids know her. I'm just not paying attention enough. Brandi Carlile.
Even
sure
I know
fabulous.
Who Brandi Carlile is.
You do? No, that's Belinda Carlile. That's the singer of the Go-Go's.
Oh. Never mind. Paul and Jordana and Mike Max, big game this evening. The Vikes taking on the Seahawks. Mikey, at last report, Seattle a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 46. Does that jive with what you're hearing?
Well, I'm sure if you're a 3-point favorite. In fact, I'm in the stadium right now watching the Vikings warm up as we go through this. So I'm coming out here right now at this. I haven't been to the stadium before, but 3-point favorite means it's kind of a toss up because you always get 3 points to the home team, and that's what Seattle's getting. It's supposed to be a loud crowd in here. And I got to tell you, I parked the car about an hour ago, and who did I meet but Jordana Green's, I guess it would be stepson-in-law, Asher.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, the game. Yeah, Asher's a big big tailgate guy.
Yeah, a big tailgate guy. I just had a hot dog with him and his friends.
Did you tell him I said hi?
I said I'm going to be talking to her in about a half hour.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, great guy. They do a huge tailgate before every game.
I was a little bit worried, but I think he's okay.
Wait, did you see the Jeep? He painted his Jeep purple, and they tailgate out of that Jeep. He's super fan.
He didn't have a painted face, but he had the jersey and everything else.
Yeah,
they had
super
fan. A little grill going, and there's so many Viking fans out here, you can't believe it. But
so
he said,
fun.
Hey, Max,
he's good to say hi to Jordana.
Did he have any good Jordana stories that are inappropriate for the air?
He did, and I'm going to email
good.
Them to you tonight.
Okay.
Paul, and then you can kind of just
more ammunition.
You see fit, all right?
There's so many.
Oh, man. So the key to winning tonight?
Key to winning is going to be stopping Seattle's run. They like to run the football. They lead the league in rushing, and the Vikings have a defense that should be built to stop them. Everybody thinks it'd be about Russell Wilson. I think they can defend Russell Wilson. I think they've done that enough. So they got a chance because I think they'll be good offensively.
Okay. Is this the first time? Am I hallucinating? They have not played the Seahawks? In 3 years?
Well, there's a trapper coming over us right now, and it looks like you can get pizza 2-for-1 slice based on whatever the sign they've got hanging out there. Could you repeat that one?
Order us a pizza. Has it been 3 years since the Vikes have played the Seahawks?
They played in the preseason. They always do, it seems like.
Yeah.
They played them at TCF Bank Stadium twice. The last time was that zero game in the playoffs when Blair Walsh missed the field goal wide
left. Yeah, the wild card.
And the season ended. So earlier that year, they'd been destroyed by the Seahawks in that same stadium. They made some adjustments and made it a real good game in the playoffs. Now, a lot of parts have changed since then, of course, but the coaches are still the same. Pete Carroll was with the Vikings at one time, and Mike Zimmer, and, of course, the quarterback, Russell Wilson, is the same. So there are some things that you can garner or take from that scouting report that the Vikings got out of it. Seattle's changed a little bit. They're not as good defensively as they were 3 years ago, I don't think. And I think offensively they've changed a little bit where they're trying to run the ball more and be more of a power football team. So a few things have changed.
And because Mike is out there tonight, the players show will be postponed till tomorrow. But
tomorrow
Mike will be doing
that
tomorrow.
We're going to have Latavius Murray and Tyler Conklin out at 5:30 at the Lone Oak Bar and Grill. So we'll have some fun.
Have fun out there.
Thanks,
go have
Maxie.
A beer with Ashi. We'll be right back.